Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. I'm saying requiescat in pace the Reverend Jesse Jackson, because I got the news yesterday night that Jesse Jackson has been summoned to his reward at the age of 84. So best known for his heroics against racialism. So he was good on some issues, and that required real physical courage, because remember when he contested the Democratic nomination for the presidency in the 1980s, the FBI had to have teams protecting him, I mean, more so than your average would-be nominee, because the risk of assassination by white supremacists was serious. So he was up against some absolute monsters, some absolute knuckle-draggers of the Ku Klux Klan type of mentality. So he made the world a better place in that sense. I've got to hand it to him. And he saw there was a lot of extreme poverty around the world, and the poverty in the United States. I mean, usually not absolute poverty, but you know, a considerable percentage of Americans live in bad circumstances, and that really is avoidable if the super rich pay just a tiny bit more in tax and so on. If there was a minimum wage in every state and so forth, if they had affordable health care. So a lot of suffering is avoidable, is not prevented. And I saw a video of an address he gave to the Oxford Union Society several years ago. Alas and alack, I was overseas, I couldn't be there in person. And he pointed out that people charged with various crimes in Chicago, they're not bailed because they can't afford a few dollars to pay that bail. So, yeah, it's terrible, a lot of things like that. And he was sort of ahead of curve on the environment. So he was good on many, many issues. Yeah, he opposed apartheid and so on. He said it was a peace campaigner. I don't agree him always on the so-called the regimes he would have saved, like Saddam Hussein's genocidal regime. If you're an anti-racist, well, there's nothing more racist than what Saddam Hussein was doing to the Kurds. And so it would have been right to save them, as indeed happened. So that was him. He was a partisan of the Democratic Party, where, I mean, he fell down as, you know, he wouldn't defend children in utero, the most vulnerable members of our society, and indeed became an advocate of the mass murder of little children. And that really is rebarbative. He became too much of a sort of comfort man, lending some sort of moral cover to evil people like Bill Clinton. And so on. So that was him. I mean, he made money out of his so-called public ministry. Being wealthy doesn't make him a bad person. But I mean, I think he was largely sincere and things like that. So what's the background of Jesse Jackson? He had Parkinson's for many years. So that obviously marred the last decade or so of his life. So Mr. Jackson was born in 1941 in South Carolina. I think it's got the highest percentage of African Americans in any state. And remember, the Jim Crow laws were there when he was in his 20s. So there was frank racism in this. So his mother was an 18-year-old schoolgirl, and she was not married to his father. And in those days, he got terribly bullied. So, you know, he suffered. He shouldn't have been insulted and called these terrible names just because he's born out of wedlock. I'm very glad the very concept of illegitimacy is redundant in most countries. So he was obviously of African-American stock, partly white, particularly Irish, hurrah, and indeed Native American. And just by the way, in case any Irish people say, oh, we weren't involved in slavery, enslaving black people, we most definitely were. I mean, obviously not all of us. Those who stayed in Ireland, largely not. So almost every country has been enslaved and has enslaved others. And, you know, Ireland is no exception, if indeed we're a country, and so on. But fortunately, his father was very involved in his life. So Jesse Jackson's Christian surname was originally Burns. He later took his stepfather's surname, Jackson, and that was it. So fairly academic, pretty good at football, studied at two different colleges and graduated. And obviously, for an African-American to go to tertiary education was unusual in the 1950s. So he was very self-assured. And he saw that there was racial injustice in the United States, and he was determined to challenge it. So was an extrovert, was opinionated, and so on. So he got his bachelor's degree in sociology, and later attended theological seminary. Because African-Americans, until the late 20th century, had almost nobody elected to Congress, or even state legislators and so on. So often the community leader was the minister of the church. And so he was a Baptist minister and so on. So there he honed his oratorical abilities. He was later got a master's degree of divinity. So that was it. He was part of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He knew the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and was campaigning with him for egalitarianism and so on, was part of Operation Breadbasket, an attempt to make sure that people had a decent amount of food all across the United States. So he attended many, many demonstrations. He said there ought to be full employment. You know, people are unemployed through no fault of their own. They're just thrown on the scrap heap. And obviously it terrifies people who are in jobs that if you speak up for yourself, if you try and get decent wages, you could be thrown out. So you better not. And it turns the races against each other and stuff like that. So part of the poor people's campaign, camping out in Washington, D.C. to draw attention to poverty. So he was a major inspiration of the Reverend Al Sharpton and became sort of a younger version of him. And he married, he had five children. He's part of People United to Save Humanity, or PUSH, as they called it. And then he was with Dr. King when the Reverend Dr. King was murdered by James Earl Ray, although there is some dispute whether James Earl Ray was really the one who committed that murder. So, he was gallant in ensuring that there would be racial justice. He'd only good to get Americans who were imprisoned abroad released when they're held by barbaric regimes. And obviously he's outspoken against apartheid. And that really was a system of white privilege in South Africa at the time. So he said he saw the possibility for redemption, all sorts of people. He spoke at anti-apartheid demonstrations in London and so forth. But he was seen as too left field to be the Democratic candidate in the 1980s. And plus, there's a lot of open racialism at the time. And he was also said that the gay people should not be discriminated against. In the 1980s, that was a highly contentious position, especially in the black community, especially for a minister of the church and so on. So he excoriated Ronald Reagan and said he made poverty a lot worse and so on. Mass incarceration, the so-called war on drugs, which penalized African-Americans much more severely for possession of small amounts of, say, crack cocaine or powder cocaine, which whites used way more, was dealt with much more mildly and so on. People say, was it like the new Jim Crow? Goodness, the gross injustice of decades-long incarcerations, three strikes in a row, and so on. So, I mean, he was good in some ways, he was evil in others. That was it. So too much of a supporter of the Clintons. And just after Al Gore lost that election, it came out that Reverend Jackson had impregnated his secretary. She gave birth to his child while he was still involved in his child's life. And I'm not judgmental about that. I mean, I don't care if he's faithful or unfaithful. Now, some people say maybe it's a bit hypocritical if you're a clergyman. And of course, nobody is perfect. So that was him. And then he remember seeing him at that rally when the Reverend, when Barack Obama won, and Jesse Jackson wept with joy to see this day, thought that it wasn't possible, and so on. So speaking out about the environment. So that was him, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who in some regards made the world a better place. So remember when District of Columbia didn't even have senators, they had sort of shadow senators, but they're allowed to go there but not speak. Yeah. So in 1988, he tried to get the Democrat nomination. He came second because he'd never held public office, whereas Michael Dukakis had been governor of Massachusetts. Joe Biden even stood. That's a very long time ago. Okay. Right. So thanks for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecalland79@gmail.com. Goodbye.